So he wants to discuss love in ways we might not have known before, okay? I think I've just noticed with people, and it can be, just in general, in Christians in general, whether it's in a church setting or whether it's, a worldwide global connection community like we've got, or whether it's in your house or in your family, how there is such a misinterpretation of what love is in terms of his favor. We sometimes, excuse me, we sometimes think that his favor, what someone else is receiving, discounts us. And that's the exact opposite, because we're one and we're many members of one body. So when someone is being lifted up, is being anointed, is being touched, is being given revelation, that touches the entire body across the world, even those that don't know that person. That's how big his love is. Okay, it doesn't stop because it's in that person's body. Okay, that little temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's, you get it, and it doesn't go any further. And it's not like that. And it doesn't mean it's just the people they touch. You see, that's how big his heart is. So when someone is graced, is for want of a better word, that's just what he kind of gives me, this word, graced with that magnificent favor that he pours on his children, we need to look at it in such a way that we don't feel less than. It's easy to feel less than, isn't it? It looks like they're getting all the attention. It looks like, how come they've got that gifting suddenly and I didn't, and I'm not, what am I doing wrong? And all we think like that. We have a tendency to think like that. And he doesn't look at it like that at all. He goes, you mean you don't know that's for you as well? That's what he thinks. He thinks, what? You don't understand my gift. You're connected. You're one. That's going to affect you. And that's why it's so important for us to get the Father's heart. It's not, his heart is not like a human heart. It's not a fleshly heart. It's a heart of grace. It's a heart of understanding. It's a heart of forgiveness. It's a heart of tenderness. It's a heart that wants to see you be who he called and made you to be. And if you become who you are called and made to be, the entire body, like he keeps giving me this word zing, zings. It just goes ning, it's just got that ping to it. But when we don't, when we think, we're not good enough, or maybe we let our problems get in the way, and we consider ourselves in relation to our problems or circumstances instead of in relation to who he is, because that's really who we are. Our identity's in him, not in what's going around in our world, because that can change from moment to moment. We all know that. Suddenly a car hits your house and crushes, whatever, everything you own. Well, where are you then if your life is about what's around you? And I just want to say, how I'm watching him transform that group. And whether it's the group of the online ministry series group, which is obviously some of you from the Dare to Be Led, or just the Dare to Be Led people, the people who are taking it seriously, a relationship with God, that they want to be close to him, they want to know him personally, the Holy Spirit, they want to rejoice in what Jesus did, and they want to know the Father's heart. Those people are being transformed so amazingly. I'm watching you guys, and I'm like, it's almost a crying session for me as I watch what he can do. And he showed me this image. And the image that I had, and I did write it on a post, but I just want to share it with you guys. I mean, it's on a post on that page. But he showed me this image of these beautiful little birds. The birds, in Australia, you have the most incredible birds you've ever seen in your life. It's like living in a parakeet land. You know, you've got birds of all kinds of colors, all kinds of sounds, all kinds of wings, you know, sizes and everything. But the birds he showed me were more like the little budgies, okay? And I don't know if that's what we call them in America, but in Australia we call them budgies. And they're the like little blue and yellow and green small birds, okay? And they flit around a lot. You know, they're real quick movers, okay? And he showed me this picture of this cage. And, you know, we all can be in that, but this was your group. The people that I've seen, you know, that we're all connecting here as a community, in that cage, but the door was open. And one by one, each little flitting bird came out, okay? And went on the trees and went, oh, look, there's a tree. Oh, there's some fruit. Oh, there's a flower. And you're like, you're discovering the beauty and the freedom and the depth of his love, that he provides everything. That he's there at all times. That he gives you the freedom to explore him. Without any condemnation. And if that means you don't understand him one day or you get upset with him, he's not slapping you out of the tree and going, ah, get on the ground. I don't want anything to do with you, you silly little winged thing. He's not like that. He goes, okay, you're going to see tomorrow that the fruit's here. Today you didn't notice. That's okay. I love you. You know, that's his tenderness. That's the kind of love he pours out. He can't unpour it out. It's too late because of Jesus. You know, and his love was always there, even, you know, before the new covenant. But he couldn't pour it out in the same way. People wouldn't receive it because they were separated from him, and now we're not separate. And that's what he really wants you to get, all of us, me as included. He wants us to get that love means we're not separate from God, ever. No matter what's going on, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what sickness we have. Love never separates. It says it, you know, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So that's what he wants to share and teach on. And, you know, Holy Spirit is like the most immense gift of the love of the Father. It doesn't get better than that. That you have constant access. It's kind of a bad word. It sounds so, you know, machine oriented, but I'm saying it that way. Constant access to the heart and mind of the Father in heaven. That's what Holy Spirit does. So never at any moment, no matter what we feel, and no matter what we're going through, is that access shut down. It never is. We can misinterpret it. We can sometimes think that... I've seen the difference. I can now tell the difference when I'm connecting with Holy Spirit, not because he went anywhere. He doesn't go anywhere. He's one with me. But when I'm not connecting with him about an issue, it's always an issue that comes between me and God. Isn't that amazing? It isn't that God comes in between me and him. It isn't even people that come between me and him. It's the issue that they may cause. And then all of a sudden this wall comes up. And it's a fake wall. It's not to do with him. It's never initiated by him. We sometimes don't get our way, and we can act like little brats. You know, I mean, I raise my hand. You know, come on. And we get upset, and we tell him off. And he's not saying you can't do any of that. There aren't rules in your relationship with him. Because if you're not real with him, you're never gonna know him. So we do all of that. And in the meantime, we're missing this continual outpouring of love. It's just pour, it's just coming into us. In fact, it's in your ear. It's like your left ear is all clogged up. This is the picture he's giving me. Your left ear is all clogged up and, you know, you can't hear, you're deafened. The right ear, all the love's coming in. But, you know, I'm not listening to that. I've got this other problem over here. That's how we do it. And then we wonder why we feel so lousy. And it isn't him at all. He's never left. He can't. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where is he going? He lives in the temple. But it's really up to us. And this is not not even a condemnation. This is not a judgment. It's up to us to decide. It really is one of those decision things where we go, okay, I'm misinterpreting you, Lord, because I know your love. God is love. That's the bottom line. God is love. I'm not feeling loved right now. I've got this problem. Everything looks wrong. It's hurting. I don't know how to get out of it. I can't feel your presence. All of that stuff. And we then put ourselves in a place where we're trying to we're trying to control him and we're trying to control ourselves. And what we need to do is actually surrender and say, I don't get it. Go to him. Holy Spirit, I don't get it. Teach me what love is. That's it. In Jesus' name. And he will. And I'll tell you, the lessons of love are going to flood you. And he will show you every little step of your little birdie feet way are planned. Every place you flit to is planned. Every person you meet is planned. Even the ones you may not want to meet. It's planned. And when we know that and he's holding us, you know, that whole time we're flitting about and we're thinking we're all independent and we're not. Because he made our wings. He designed us exactly as he wants us to be. So when we go from one branch to the other or to another location or to another town or another city or, have another meeting, he's never gone. He's never away from us. And he showed me this morning because I had an issue, a situation that was really struggling with. And I could feel the difference of when I'm touching Holy Spirit, and I'm letting him be who he is in me. I have such freedom and such hope and such joy, even if I have a situation. But when I'm not touching Holy Spirit and I withdraw myself to a place of isolation from him, which we can do. It's not the reality, but we in our own minds can do that. In our own hearts. I spoke to him about it. I thought, I know you haven't gone because you live in me and you're one with me. So what's happening? And I prayed in the middle of the night because my husband had an emergency call for a fire and rescue, an accident, which we prayed about, and it turned out they got stood down, so he didn't even have to go. They only went halfway there, so hallelujah. But while I was woken up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning from that call, I just prayed and prayed and prayed. I prayed about the issue. I prayed to him about what was going on. I prayed. I remembered. I was back in the orphan place. Because when you're not relating to Holy Spirit, you feel like an orphan again. It's like, oh, is the Father listening to me? Does he love me? Does he think I'm perfect? Does he think I'm beautiful? Does he think I'm worthwhile? Oh, maybe he does. I'll pray. I hope. That's where we go to. Orphan stage. But when we're relating to and connecting with, it really is, I feel like he wants the word touch. When I'm touching Holy Spirit, I'm touching the Father's heart. And then I get a complete and continual communication with him. And there's no lapse. There's no, there's like on Skype, we get kicked out. We don't get booted out. There's no communication gap. It's just continual. And he shifted something in me in my sleep. I don't even know what he did. That's how good he is. All I know is I cried out. I prayed about the situation. I went back to sleep because my husband came back. And when I woke up in the morning, I felt complete again. Now that was him, listening to his child. And that was Holy Spirit ministering to me while I was sleeping. Do you know I didn't even ask him to? I mean, I told him I was concerned about how I felt. I was concerned about I didn't feel connected. All of that. But he didn't leave me with it. He never leaves us with it. We don't get stuck in a place of being alone. And I love what A. Kroll, I call him A, said this morning. I was reading it on it. He is so right. There is no, we don't have to put God in that box, and we don't have to see that, put us in a box, because when we put him in a box, we're in a box. We don't have to see him as, oh, I didn't hear him today. Oh, I didn't feel him today. Oh, where was he? Because we are one. He doesn't ever go anywhere. We can feel disconnected, though. And you know why the reason we feel disconnected is we don't get the love of God. We don't get that it's continual and eternal. And it never turns off, ever, no matter what. And we get that when we get it, the assurance that that gives us is total freedom. We have total freedom then. We can go to any little branch we want to flit off to, talk with any other little birdie. Try out any little fruit or flower because we know we're loved. We're held in the hands of love all the time. And he wants us to actually get to a place that we don't get ruffled, you know. And it's not a judgment. Again, it's not like, oh, you better get to the top of the class. He wants us to get to that place of not getting ruffled, so we're free in our hearts to be loved and to love, because we're never going to love freely if we don't experience being loved freely. And that love, see, the Holy Spirit, when I was having that issue, he didn't withdraw from me, and the Father's love didn't go away, but I couldn't feel it. I couldn't experience it. And the interesting part is I couldn't experience it because I was angry with him. Okay? Now, he didn't stop the love, and he didn't stop Holy Spirit being one with me. I actually had to, like a little girl, it was a child, I had to go to him like a child and almost say, you know, in a little girl's voice, I don't know what's happening, but I know I've been mad, but now I'm sad because I can't feel you. It was like that. I mean, I didn't say it in, you know, that kind of voice, but that's where I was coming from in my heart. It was almost like this, guys. I want you back, Daddy. Okay? Because sometimes what we do is we turn ourselves away from him. We think we can't hurt God, you know? We think, well, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, and, you know, he's omnipresent. So, you know, he's got it all together there. When we turn away from him, his heart just sags. That's how much we mean to him. Even though he knows we're going to turn back, and even though he knows we're his forever, he's still a person. The Father's a person too. It's not just Holy Spirit's a person. We've been learning that because nobody thought he was a person. So we had to really, you know, inundate ourselves with the person of Holy Spirit, the person of Holy Spirit, the person of Holy Spirit, because, you know, everybody thought he was some bizarre, mystical fantasy. Now we know him as a person. No, we need to know the Father, the Father's heart, and the Father is a person. Just like, you know, it's that same picture that of the prodigal son, yeah? The Father, he's like that with us every day. Oh, he's coming up the road, she's coming back, woohoo! Get the ring, get the robe, get the calf, you know, that's how he is. He misses us. We can't believe that because we think, well, he's God. Why would he miss me? Yeah, he does. Why did he send Jesus? Because he missed us. And he wanted us back. And that was the only way. If we get what the cross is actually, and I know someone wrote me an email about it, and the cross, and they wrote, I'm just going to share it. They made a picture of the cross, and then they wrote love at every part of that cross. You know, across it, love. On the top part of the cross, love. On the bottom part of the cross, love. That is what the cross is. It is pure love. It wasn't just so, oh, we were condemned, and, you know, we were sinners, and we couldn't be, we had to be separated from God because we're such unholy, filthy things. No. His standard is love, and the cross was that standard. It was all love, and it still is. And when we miss the mark, you know, and whether we make a mistake or we intentionally sin or whatever it is that we do, that cross still stands. That love still stands. It never goes away, ever. It can't. It's been done. It is finished. And when we get into misunderstanding with him, it's really like a you know, I think it's amazing. I felt like I was having my first lover spat with Holy Ghost. And I even said to him, I said, this is like a lover spat. I am so angry with you. You know, it's like, I don't really even want to talk to you. And when I got through it, you know, I went through that process and woke up in the night and prayed and all of that. But I didn't pray, oh, forgive me, Lord, for misinterpreting you or whatever. I just went like a little child, like, oh, I'm so lonely. I miss you. That's what I said to him. I miss you, Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, if you have your husband or say girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, and, you know, you love him, you can't wait to be with him. It's so exciting. It's so fun. And you hang out with them all the time. And then they do something that really upsets you, or you think they've done something that's really upsetting. You get offended and you just fold your arms, turn your back and go, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't even know why I ever liked you. Okay? It's like that with Holy Spirit. Can you believe it? That's how much of a person he is. You can have like a lover's spat with him. And I just had, he never said to me, you have to bow down and ask for forgiveness now because you've been really bad. He didn't do that. Oh, yeah. I mean, he couldn't change me until I was willing. So I went to him and I didn't know what to do. I was absolutely, you know, I was surprised because I thought I was beyond that. See, this is what we do. We have such pride. We think, oh, I'm so in touch with the Holy Ghost, you know. Oh, nothing like this would ever happen to me. And there you go. You get a personal thing happens and you get, you know, upset. Or as they call it in Australia, ropeable. And ropeable is like, you know, uncontrolled anger. And you get really upset, okay? And what I love about him is he never walked away from me. Well, he can't because, you know, and he kept reminding me that. He's like, I'm one with you, Jesse. Where am I going? Where am I going to go? You know, I'm just waiting here until you get over your hissy fit. And then we can talk again. And that's how it works. And I know I grieved him. And I didn't want to. It wasn't like I was trying to. But, you know, when you're in the middle of that emotion, you don't stop it. When you're yelling at your husband, unless you really get a... I have had fights with my husband. All of a sudden, I break out in tongues because I know it's just the stupidest fight and the stupidest things that we're doing. And it's the devil wants to separate us, so, you know, and cause division between us. And I'll just break out in tongues. But that's pretty rare when I've got my head on straight, you know. And it's kind of like that with Holy Spirit. We almost have to see it like a marriage. And we are. You know, we're the bride of Christ. Okay? So... there we are with our, you know, spouse. And in this instance, there we are with Holy Spirit, who's one with us. And our spouse is one with us. No matter how mad we are at them, it's tough luck. They're still one. Same with Holy Spirit. No matter how upset we are, disappointed or confused or angry or whatever it is, he's still one with us. That's his eternal love. Do you know that the eternal love of God lives in you and me as Holy Spirit? Because it says the Holy Spirit poured out the love of God into our hearts. It's eternal. That means it's unbreakable. It can never be broken. It can never be stopped. It's eternal. So no matter how stupid we may act at times, and how, you know, bratty or spoiled, the eternal love of God is in us and breathes through us and keeps us alive. But he's wanting me to tell you, because he's telling me as well, he wants to have quality relationships with us. He really does. Quality. Like, and his quality is like the finest silk, you know, that kind of idea. The finest linen, the finest gold. His quality is the best of the best. He wants that kind of relationship with us. The best of the best. We have only touched the tip of the iceberg. He wants so much more for us and with us. And all we've got to do is yield, 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 yield. That's it. That's our only thing to do, is just to yield. When we make a mistake, we yield. When we're doing great, we yield. When we are confused, we yield. When we don't have an answer, we yield. When we're praying for somebody, we yield. When we need healing for ourselves, we yield. That's it. Yielding is our part of the love affair. That's it. He does everything else. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't really, I mean, on one level, it looks like he's asking for so much. And people say, it will cost you everything to come to Jesus. I'm like, it costs me everything that I never was. Why would I want it? If I yield to him, I become the beautiful bride. Why would I want anything less than that? So yielding is only our part. I can see it. He's showing me this image of marriage. Do you know when the man puts the ring, and I'm getting it because we're the bride of Christ. So even if you're a male listening to this, or Andrew, that you're here, when he puts the ring on her finger, that's what Holy Spirit is showing me now. Holy Spirit is the ring on your finger, eternal love, eternal oneness in God. That ring never comes off. Even when we're upset, even when we're confused, even when we're angry, even when we're sick, the ring never comes off. And he wants us to live in that place of knowing this bond that we have with him. We are bonded to him.
Talking to my son, I had the...
Philippians 13, 1. Let's go to that scripture, because I'm going to read it, and you might have different versions, but and I know probably most of you know it by heart anyway. I don't know it by heart. But I have him in my heart, so that's even better. I just want to read that. Okay, here we go. One Corinthians 13. I'm going to read 4. You know what he says love is? Okay. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's a description of the Father, guys. That's our Father. Just let it sink in. That is our Father. Every one of those tells us that we are completely accepted forever in him. And that ring of his faithfulness never gets taken off our finger. So when we think we've been naughty, you know, we should be punished, or like me the other, you know, last night trying to being upset with what this issue was and thinking, oh, you know, he's going to draw away from me. And then him reminding me, I can't draw away from you. I live in you. Where am I going? And he says, love suffers long. He's saying, I, the Father, suffer long. I am kind. I do not envy. The Father does not envy. I do not parade myself. I am not puffed up. I don't behave rudely. I don't seek its own. I am not provoked. I think no evil. I do not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. I bear all things. I believe all things. I hope all things. I endure all things. I never fail. That's the Father. That's an amazingly profound. He's just showing me that now. Holy Spirit told me to tell you that. That's who God is. And that's what he does. And that's how he reacts to us. So if we ever doubt and think that, you know, we've overdone it, we've gone too far, we've hurt him too much, we've you know, sinned too deeply. That's what it says about his reaction. So that's how much favor we have with him. Eternal favor. Why? Because he never fails. Not because we never fail, but because he never fails. And God is love. And it says love never fails. So therefore he never fails. And he lives in us. So even when, like, for instance, you know, last night with me, and I'm giving you this personal example so that we can share about, the, you know, this is how it works in real life. Even when I was in the wrong place in my understanding of him and was upset emotionally, he didn't fail me. He didn't fail me. He's not looking at me and going, you better never fail me. He doesn't fail us. And love in us will never fail. It will never even fail us, not just for others, for us. And it has to be for us first, or we won't be able to have that kind of love for others. So we have to know this in the deepest part of our beings. So that when we minister to anybody or you know, touch anyone, and it doesn't have to be in a, you know, official ministry, just in our lives, that same unfailing love pours out of us. Because it pours into us and we have received it gladly. And that's what he wants us to do. It's a no holds barred love that never fails. That's who God is. All right, so what we start to come to understand about him being love, and that he does suffer long, and that he is kind, and that he bears all things, because he is love, and love bears all things, that he is still the same towards us regardless of what is going on inside us, or around us, or our reactions. He suddenly doesn't pull away. Okay, we are not in a place, because of his abounding grace, and what happened on the cross, we are not in a place where we have to constantly check ourselves with him. We actually, the picture he gives me is of this child who's been really naughty, running into her father's arms in tears, and him just holding her and kissing her on the cheeks and kissing her on the head and kissing her, you know, fondling her hair and holding her close. That's how he does it. And I think what you said, Lizzie, is really, really vital for our relationship with God, whether we're talking about the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. We're not to expect ourselves to be an expert. He wants to be the expert in the relationship. I think that he told me that in different terms, but when we were doing the DARE a while back, he said, stop being the adult and be the child. And I mean, I laughed and I kind of winced, because that was how I was trying to run our relationship. I'm trying to be all grown up and do all the right things and be good for him. And that's not what he's asking us to do. Okay, he's the adult and trying to run things as well. Now, we've got, our emotions are messy. It's true. They're messy. Okay, but they don't scare him, and they certainly don't scare the Father nor Jesus, who hung on the cross for us. Because I mean, how much messier could it be than him? He was so bloody and brutally beaten you couldn't recognize him. That's messy. And then he took on all our mess on top of it. That's what, why he was so brutally beaten and killed. He was messy for us. So messiness doesn't freak him out. You know, he doesn't go in there and faint at the sight of blood. He gave all his blood. So love isn't messy for him. He doesn't draw back or recoil when we are having a hard time, or we are, you know, upset or not treating people the way we should treat people. He isn't tearing his hair out and going, oh my gosh, how did I raise her? Good thing I have, you know, 50 million other children that I can deal with. He doesn't cast us out. He can never cast us out, because we're one with him. We're heirs of God. We're one spirit with him. And he didn't have Jesus die so that he could cast us out later because we made mistakes. And that kind of thinking, which is out there in Christianity very heavily, causes so much pain and rejection that people turn away from God because they don't know who he is, that he is actually love. And when we have emotions, this is something he taught me a while back. I did a teaching on it, spirit-led feelings. You can actually give your feelings over to Holy Spirit to take care of. Did you know that? We don't have to sit in that garbage. When something really upsets us, or we're hurt, or somebody condemns us, or we condemn ourselves even, you know, by our own behavior or our own judgment, we can go to Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I give you my emotions. I give you these feelings. Take over these feelings. Lead my feelings in Jesus' name. He'll do it. And he'll do it so fluidly, because we're all learning how fluid he is. He'll do it so fluidly, it'll be, you don't know when it happened. But he just will. Because he's our comforter. We seem to forget that he's here to comfort us. So when we're doing the wrong thing, and we know it in ourselves, you know, because he convicts us of righteousness, not that we're naughty. And it just feels so, you know, we're like, that's not who I am. Like you said, Jean, that's not who I am. and he convicts us of that's not who you are. I don't see you like that. That's not even who you are. It's not just I don't see you like that. That isn't you. That's not your identity, that you're all upset and crying your eyes out and thinking you're worthless. What? Not only doesn't see us that way, he says, that is not who you are. If you want to know who you are, ask me. Because he's got the answer. And when we're a mess like that, we can literally just ask him so openly and say, as a child, again, not the expert, I know the word says this, or this is the theology or doctrine behind it. No, as a child, going to him and saying, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to handle my feelings right now. They're way too hard for me. Take them over. I let you take over my feelings, just like we've said. I let you take over my heart. That's what we're doing. But he wants, it's a let you. You see, it's a let you. It's a permission granted by us. He waits on us to say that. Not because everybody goes, oh, Holy Spirit's a gentleman. No, he's not. Holy Spirit isn't just a gentleman. I've had Holy Spirit shove me down in a chair when I was a stroppy little stinker because I was going to lose a position that he wanted me to have because children were going to come to Christ and I was learning how to be a teacher. He shoved me down in a chair. Physically. I'm telling you, that shut me up. He's not always a gentleman. When he, you know, he's kind, but when he needs to be firm, you know, God chastens us because he loves us. So when we need that help in an emotional situation, because emotions are messy for us, but not him. No worries for him. Hakuna Matata. You know, I got no worries about emotions. I made those feelings. I know what to do with them. And we just let him swoop in and take over. But we need to say that. And it's something he's given me. It's almost like one of those, life principles that we need to live by as a Christian, as believers in Christ. We need to say, I let you, Holy Spirit, take over my heart. In Jesus' name. And we don't figure it out after that. We just let him do it. He knows what he's doing. He's the expert. When I did that in a certain situation that I had where I was really angry and, you know, you start to have horrible thoughts about a person and all this stuff because they hurt your feelings. And when he told me to do that, I prayed for the person. I prayed for the situation. And the first thing that popped up that he said to me is, let me take over your heart. And I thought, okay, you're asking, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it. And as soon as he did, as soon as I said it, within 2 seconds, it was all gone. All the anger was gone. All the horrible thoughts were gone. And I actually felt sorry for the person and felt tender towards them. That's how good God is, if we let him take over our hearts. And we can live in freedom then. And when emotions come, because we get really afraid of our emotions, you know, especially as Christians, we think, oh, I've got to control those things because they get out of hand and, you know, they're going to take me wildly off the cliff and everything. But it says, what does it say? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. The law is self-will, self-reliance, self-effort. So if I'm led by the Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, lead my emotions, I'm no longer under self-reliance. I don't have to fix my emotions anymore. Do you see how free it is? I just give them to him. He leads them then. And we're not left as a mess. And we're not left as, as victims of them. We become free. And in an instant, we're not talking. We have to go, you know, talk to him for 4 hours to get it all over with and process it. No. When this person had hurt me and all my emotions came up and I was angry and hurt and, you know, thinking bad things. And as soon as I said, I let you take over my heart, Holy Spirit, and he did it like that. That's how good God is. That's how much he lives in us, you see. That's how much his love is present in us. We most of the time don't know it's there. But it's love, not just, do you see what's so beautiful about love? It goes both ways. He didn't just say, oh, Jesse, I don't want you to feel bad. Okay, I'll make you feel better, but that person's really bad and terrible. Well, they should be punished. No. He gave me a tender heart that he has for them as well. That's how big his love is. And so we don't have to drum it up and go, well, as a Christian, I'm supposed to be kind and loving, and I need to feel this way and that way about so-and-so. No, it doesn't work like that. And it goes back to what you said, Jean, and what Joyce told you at the same time that you were thinking it. That's not you. We're not who we think we are. Because if we are one with the Father, and God, Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is love, then we are one with love. Now that should knock our socks off. That is who we are. We are one with love. So all that striving and straining to try to be good Christians, which we tend to do, in self-effort, is a waste of time. Because we are one with love. So if we yield to Him, we're yielding to love. I mean, it just doesn't get any better. And that's what Holy Spirit wants to teach us. He wants to teach us how to do that. And how He teaches us how to do that is just say, let me take over your heart. Let me. He's asking. He's not demanding. He's not going to shove it in. He says, let me take over your heart and I will give you freedom. So when we yield to love, you know, we have a choice to yield to love or not. And this whole idea of daring to be spirit-led, you know what it's really about? It's about yielding to love. That's the truth of it. That's what's been hidden underneath it the whole time. But probably we couldn't recognize it. So he spoke to us like dares. And, you know, he's got a good sense of humor, Holy Spirit. So he does it that way. And he told me to do it in that format. But daring to be spirit-led is daring to yield to love. Is really what he wants us to do. And Marie, in your situation that, you know, you have, seeing rather than looking at that circumstance and then freaking out or you know, doubting or worrying or whatever it is that people do, you are seeing and living in that blanket of love. And from that place, when we actually yield to that, these things that are problems, whether they're physical problems or illnesses or whether they're financial or whether they're relational or whether they're spiritual. What does it say? Love covers a multitude of sins, right? And the sickness is sin, dysfunction is sin, you know, division is sin, relational problems is sin. He covers it with his blanket of love. When he says he covers it, he doesn't mean he's hiding it, guys. It becomes that. It becomes love. The situation becomes infused with love. The body becomes infused with love. The circumstance becomes infused with love. And nothing outdoes love. Because love never fails. God never fails. And that's who we're yielding to. So when we get really scared and go, oh, should I yield? You know, you hear believers all the time. Oh, I don't know if I could trust God on this or should I yield? And they may not even say it. Most of them won't admit it because that sounds like a bad Christian. But the truth is, inside, they're wondering if he's trustworthy. Love never fails. God never fails. There is nothing more trustworthy than that. And we can test him on it, you know, okay? You say love never fails, Lord. I don't know how to handle this situation. I'm going to yield to you. We'll see. He'll always come through. Always. we're all being discipled by God, but what that really means is we're all being discipled by love. Love is teaching us. Love that doesn't behave rudely, love that suffers long, love that doesn't envy, it's teaching us. It's discipling us to be like Him, but not because we're trying to be like Him, because we're yielding to love, we're yielding to who He is, we're yielding to who we are. Because we're one with love. So when we act out of character, it's not like God suddenly goes, oh, you idiot, you know, and smacks you across the head. That's not what happens. What happens is in ourselves, we know we can feel the grieving, okay? We can feel it. We don't want to be like that. And He reminds us, that's not you. That's not you. What are you doing? That's not you. And then He's the Father, the Father of the prodigal son. When we go, and we cry, and we go into His arms, and He's going, get the ring, get the robe, get the calf. That's daily. Daily. When we are in that position. Not that we're there every day, but that's available every day. And you know that word prodigal actually means extravagant? So it's the extravagant Father. Running down the, you know, looking down the road and then running after His son. Undignified, unashamed, rejoicing. He's the prodigal. Prodigal, extravagant Father. So that's who we're yielding to. And it's not even about, you know, being afraid to yield to Him or not yield to Him. It's actually, you know, when we feel separate because we're having an issue or a situation, we feel separate, but we're not. We want to get to a place where when we feel separate like that, even if it's for an instant, that we immediately go to Him and go, okay, I let You take over my heart. We can let Him take over our hearts even about Him. When we're upset with Him, we don't have to hide it and pretend like I'm not really upset. Okay, I'm upset with You and I don't really want to talk to You, so I'm just going to turn around and you know, this will make me safe if I don't look at You and I don't talk with You. We can go to Him and go, I am so upset with You, but I let You take over my heart about You in Jesus' name. And then we won't go through that suffering of feeling separate, because He doesn't want us to do that. And Joyce, you just said something that's brilliant. That's exactly right. The Father, who is so extravagant towards us, the best robe, I'm just reading for exactly what you're saying. The best robe, best means as if in the beginning God, who is love, created us in His image and likeness, love. Exactly. That's what He wants us to get. There is no separation between us and Him because we are love. So when we're in that position that we think, or we think we've lost our position, or we think that we're less than or unworthy or whatever it is because of our behavior, and we're judging again on our behavior, but remember, we are not under the law. So self-reliance and how good we are isn't what He's looking at. When we do that, we fall from grace because we think our behavior is going to determine who we are. And who we are in Him and how He relates to us. But it's impossible because we're love. We're one. So it's not just His love covers a multitude of sins. And oh, thank goodness, whew, I made it in. I am love. There is no distinction. Because we think we have emotions and a body and a mind and a will and all this other stuff and a soul. We think that separates us. Garbage. That does not separate us. Nothing does. Nothing separates us. And that thing that you said, Jean, about what does it mean that perfect love casts out fear? That's what it does. The perfect love of the Father. Any fear we have that we're being separate. Any fear that we have that we're not good enough. Any comparison we have with other people is cast out. With His perfect love. that was what? Poured out on the cross already. We cannot earn it. We cannot earn it. And we're not meant to. We just be it. Just be love. That's it. Just be love. And don't worry about, well, what does that mean? Am I supposed to be extra nice to my husband? Or am I supposed to clean up for my parents? Or am I... Don't worry about it. Just say, okay, Holy Spirit, I just want to be love. You teach me in Jesus' name. That's it. And he'll give you the lessons. And he'll show you. And he'll reveal how you are that already. You just don't know it. Dean, you know what perfect love casts out fear means? Perfect love casts out fear means it casts out anything that isn't love. That's what it means. That's what he just said.
That's amazing.
I'm just listening to what he says and I repeat it, you know? I'm not like Holy Ghost parrot, you know? And I love being that because I know I'll always say something that is going to move people's hearts, and that's what it's about. So that's what perfect love, casting out fear, is. Cast out everything that is not love. So when we, I just had this picture. I just had that scripture that says, no greater love hath anyone than they lay down their life for his brother, right? It's for his brother, is that right? Or for a friend? I can't remember. But it's that...
No greater love has any man than this, can he lay down his life for his friends.
For his friends, okay. For his brothers. Okay. So he just showed me that picture. And I know he's going to reveal what he's wanting to say. Of no greater love. That love that he expressed through Jesus Christ, of laying down his life for us before we were born, is the same love that lives in us. That's the love that we carry. That's the love that we are. Already. See, we already are that. We aren't somebody who's got to get fixed. We aren't. We are not needing fixing, guys. We already are the love of God. When we start identifying ourselves that way, I don't even want to use that word because it gets so overused. When we start understanding ourselves like that, and we stop separating ourselves from God. We are the ones who separate ourselves. He doesn't. He can't. It's impossible for him. We do it by how we see, how we think, how we judge ourselves. We separate ourselves from him in our own minds and hearts. But it's not ever done, really. We're never separated. And I remember Holy Spirit saying to me months back when I was really, really learning about who he was. He said to me one day when I was, you know, I was wanting to have his presence come upon me. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care what anyone says. He does come upon people. We all know that. Come on, you can go into a room and just feel his presence and people are getting knocked over. He comes upon people. But I was overusing it. It was becoming a formula. And he stopped doing it with me because he just won't put up with that. It's like, that's not good enough. I'm not giving you second best. And I was asking him to do it. And he said, Jesse, would you stop separating, seeing us as separate? He wants us to stop seeing ourselves as separate from him who is love. He wants us to stop seeing ourselves as separate from love. Because that's what we are now. Made in his image. Everybody says, oh, made in his image doesn't mean he has ears and eyes. Or made in his image is talking about his character. Made in his image is being made in love. Because that's who he is. We have this idea that, I better forgive my, you know, whether it's my son or my wife or husband or child or whatever. because they did such and such. And we feel that pressure to forgive, you know, like, well, I'm supposed to do this because this is what makes a good Christian, or this will make things work out. And that's not how we forgive. We forgive from that heart of love that's in us. And when I've had situations that have been, I mean, impossible humanly to forgive, impossible because the betrayal was so horrific.
Yeah.
I do not make, quote unquote, a decision to forgive, because there's no such thing. Making a decision to forgive will not change your heart. Feelings do not follow that. Fakeness follows that. And you can tell yourself you're forgiven, but it's, the wound is still there. Only, it is only through the power of Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, who lives in us through Holy Spirit, that we are going to forgive that way. And all we have to do, again, as a child, not as an expert, how do I forgive? Oh, this is the 7 easy ways to forgive. You know, no, not as the expert, but as the one who is receiving the expert, going to him and saying, I cannot forgive this person. I cannot forgive what they did. I don't even want to forgive what they did, but I give you permission, Lord, to forgive them through me. And right. Just as the emotions, you know, when we let him take over our heart, because that's what you're really saying. I let you forgive them through me. You're saying, I let you take over my heart. He does it immediately, within seconds. And you might have had 10 years of pain, 10 years of anger, 10 years of frustration, 10 years of resentment, whatever. And it's gone like that. Because why? Because Jesus Christ already forgave them. And now you said you can do it in me too. For them. Even when we don't want to. Do you see how we get that mixed up? Sometimes we think, oh, but it's my will and la la la. No, we yielded our will to God. And then he will do the work of the forgiveness. We don't do it. And it happens immediately. It isn't some long term, you know, drawn out process that we work out or figure out. It's immediate. And that same love that forgave us, that's why he gave him, put him on the cross, is the same love that lives in us. And we don't have to go, oh, well, that's the love that lives in me, and now I should forgive. No. If it comes naturally, wonderful. Hallelujah. But usually when someone's wounded you so deeply, that is not going to come naturally to us, not in our flesh. It has to be by revelation or by literally letting it. We either have the revelation beforehand, like you did, Joyce, with the bubbling brook of his love, yeah, and you knew, knowing that they all were loved by him, so, and it was just flowing through you, so that's the living water, so you got it that way. Other times you won't have that, but you can seek him out and say, all right, I let you forgive them through me. Isn't that amazing? And then you get the benefit of not only the forgiveness, but you get the benefit of being love in that situation. That doesn't mean some people, if someone's horrifically abused somebody and they are an unsafe person, you do not have a cup of tea with them again. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't making friends with somebody. Forgiveness is having your heart completely turned inside out, right side up in Christ. That's what forgiveness is. And you may never see that person again, or you may. It depends on the situation. Some people are not safe. And I just am adding that in case, because I know people listen to things and then they take teachings and put them out of context and they can get themselves into precarious situations. And that is not what we're saying at all. If it's an unsafe situation, forgiveness comes in you, but it has nothing to do with how you're going to be with them. That's between them and God. And they may or may not reject God. And it's really important to get that. Because people have this namby-pamby idea of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an incredible power. It's a power in us. It's his power of his love to transform. It's not cute. Okay, well, I'll forgive you. It's not what it is. It makes our heart restored and revived. And if they want to receive it from him, it will do the same to them. But they can reject it. That is an option. He was telling me today, He was saying, it was like, he was just revealing it today. He was like, Jesse, do you realize that people are in a, best word I can say it, like a period of grace? We're in the place, I remember my husband saying this, we are in the place that wasn't written in the Bible from the epistles to Revelation. We're in between there. We're that book, living it right now. And as we do, we're in that book of grace. I would call it the book of grace. Everything that happens is covered by grace. And every day is the day of salvation. So 5 million people could come to Jesus Christ today. Just because they say yes. Every day. You know, that's how much grace is pouring out. And when they're, I've heard some of these prophets condemning all these nations. It's just horrific. I mean, it just tears my heart apart. And, but I know how to pray. So hallelujah for that. So God shows me these people and then I go, oh yeah, is that what you say? Well, watch what God says. Because you know what a prophet's supposed to do? A prophet's supposed to pray the Father's heart. He's not supposed to pray condemnation or declare condemnation. He's supposed to pray the Father's heart. So when that happens, when we see that happens, again, it's all still coming back from love. Pray the Father's heart. If you see something coming at a nation or a group or a family or a person, and you can tell where, you know, the writing on the wall kind of a thing, well, you don't just sit there and let it happen and go, okay, well, God's condemning you, so therefore he's bringing this. No, you stop it by the authority that he gives you. You bind it and you cast things out and you lose his presence and you lose his love. So those people can be saved. And even without that, if it's something, if it's a disaster coming, you bind that as well. It's amazing how they're so quick to see a vision of some horrific event and attribute it to a loving Father who's now given us this period of grace. We're in the book of grace. The unwritten book of grace is being written by our very lives. And they're telling him, no, no, Jesus Christ wasn't enough. He really didn't come in the flesh because you're going to be condemned now. Judgment will never come until he comes back. That we can be sure of, because he came to save, not condemn. And we're in that period of salvation. I mean, it is such an amazing period of life for us, or a period of history. Yes. It's an incredible period of history to be a Christian.
Yes.
And we have such opportunities to share it. And again, as we transform, it's not even being transformed. You know, we already are love. As we transform, as our minds are transformed, so that we can actually meet the truth inside of us. Oh my gosh, I'm love. So all I have to do is love? You're kidding. And I'm not even doing the loving. It's Christ within me through Holy Spirit that's loving. Wow. I don't have to fix my emotions and go get help for it and read the books of the seven easy ways to feel good as a Christian. No, I go to Holy Spirit, the best teacher ever, and say, teach me how to love because I don't know how to do it. And he goes, I'm so glad you came into class today because this is what I want to tell you. This is what I'm going to show you. This is what I'm going to put in you. This is what's going to come forth from you. And he does it all. It's effortless. That's part of his love as well. You know, Holy Ghost is actually a treasure box of God's love that he's planted in us. I know he's God as a person. I know he's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. All of that. He is all of that. He is God Almighty, Holy Spirit. There is no junior God. But what I'm saying is that the expression of God's love was to send Holy Spirit to live in us. Forever, never orphaned again, for the rest of eternity. He lives in us forever, it says. It's not like, okay, well, you know, you had a bad day, I'm leaving, or, oh, when you go to heaven, I'm leaving. He lives in us forever. Forever is forever. Forever. It never changes. All the self-effort, all the self-reliance, the law is also another, aka self-reliance, aka works, aka self-effort. All of that is gone because we are love. There is nothing else to do.
Yes.
There's nothing else to do. Just be. That's it. The transforming is his job.
Yes.
I know it says that do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of his mind. Who's going to do that? Oh, I know. I'll just read the Bible 4,000 times a day and it will transform my mind. Self-effort. Oh, I'll just listen to 24 teachings today. That'll transform my mind. Works. Oh, I'll just think on a scripture all day and meditate on it. Self-reliance. Who is going to transform our minds, renew our minds? Holy Ghost. He renews our minds. In every moment of every day, continually, he does. We think it's something I've got to effort at and do and make myself be like. I cannot do it. I cannot make my mind new. Oh, yeah, I'm going to sit here and do that. Even if we do any of those things, you know, those self-efforting things, anything that comes through it that transforms us is from him and is through him. He does the transforming part. Okay, we might want to eat good food, yeah? But I don't make my body digest it. I don't make the metabolism break it down. It's the same with that. Okay, we don't want to look at junk on TV or whatever because it does affect us. It affects our minds. It affects our hearts. It affects our dreams. All that stuff. Okay, so it's not like we don't have responsibility, but we've got to realize that responsibility. When we look at something good, like say we watch a film that is about him, and about his, you know, his precious son, and we look at it, that will begin transforming our minds. But we don't do the transforming part. We don't do that part. Our responsibility is to yield to him. So if he says, don't watch that garbage, don't watch that garbage. That's the yielding part. But if he says, I want you to look at this, this is going to touch your heart, well, then we yield to that. And then he does the transforming. It's still his job. We're not the experts, like Lizzie said. He is. Yep, that's exactly right. We feed on the word. We feed on the truth. We feed on him, and Holy Spirit does the digestion. He knows how to break it down. He knows how it's going to make, you know, your spiritual muscles. He knows how it's going to make your brain zing and ping and make you sharp spiritually. He knows. I don't know how to do that. Because otherwise we're going to be, you know, we're going to be these word people. And it's just the word, the word, the word, the word. And the word without the Spirit's dead anyway. Because the Spirit inspired the word. We can't separate them. We can pretend, just like we try to separate ourselves from love. Well, that's a joke and a half. Because I'm one with God and he's love. Well, that's tough luck. I'm love too. And if I want to yield to it, then I'm going to have the magnificence of the life he wants to give me. And that's what he wants to give. Magnificent. I could see it. It's like he's like giving me this image of this incredible city. You know, one of those golden cities. And there's light everywhere. Shafts of light on the east. Shafts of light in the west. And this city, that's just this golden city of light. That's his magnificent destiny he has for each one of us. That's what he wants us to have, a magnificent life filled with goodness and glory. No self-judgment, no self-condemnation, no disease, no sickness, no pain, no hurt. So that when any of that comes, we go to him. And he transforms us to receive all that he has. And it's all love, whatever it turns into being, whether it's sending you on a missions trip or whether it's having you write a book. It's all love, whatever he's called us to do. Or whether it's being a stupendous mother. And he will do that. I don't have to try to be the stupendous mother. Do you know what he said to me the other day? I thought it was so funny, and I've just got to share it. It is online, but it made me laugh. Okay, it was my birthday, and my husband works his little buns off, and so he's very tired. So I just asked for one dance. He's a really good dancer, but outside under the stars with us, with little candles, okay, and I went and got a song. And we have this joke about this song, you know, It Had to Be You. And one of the lines of It Had to Be You is, some others I've seen might try to be mean, what might never be mean, but they wouldn't do. With all your faults, I love you still. Okay, and I always laugh at that part with him. And I say it to him, okay, it's just a joke. Now, I put that on my little iPod outside, and we're dancing to it, and it was really lovely. The next day, no, that day, before I did that, because I was downloading it on iTunes. And that day, it was my birthday day, and I was sitting with him under my mulberry tree having my time. And he started singing me that song. Because I was thinking about children and babies and my son now and all this stuff. And he said, just because some others I've seen may never be mean. Some others I've seen will never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. You know, he said, with all your faults, I love you still. And that's how he feels about us. It doesn't stop him, guys. When we have flaws in us or things that haven't been transformed yet, with all our faults, he loves us still. We are perfect to him. We're perfected forever, it says. And that's not about being a goody-goody. That's being bonded to him. That's how we're perfected forever. Not by what I do. He has such value for us so that when he says that to me, and I think I'm supposed to be a perfect mother, and oh, I blew it this time, or I yelled at my son, or this happened, or that happened. He's going, you know, some others I've seen may never be mean, they'll never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. I gave you him. Yeah? That's what he means. That's what he's saying.